What's up, guys? This is Jacques. Welcome back to Unpopular. I have my friend Grant Rutter on the pod today. Some of you might know him from his show, Grant's Rants. We talked about Roni and The View because we both hate it. And Free Britney, it was a good one. By the way, if I sound like hoarse or anything, I probably don't, just in my head, but I just recorded Dan Allegretto's podcast, his Patreon pod, Dial Dan, and we talked about TikTok influencers for like 2 hours. It was a lot of fun. Check that out, because that should be out by the time you're hearing this, but I'm going to talk about some of the TikTok stuff next week, because I watched the D'Amelio show and everything, so I'll give you my thoughts on that like next week. But you know how last week I said that Honey Boo Boo had a secret boyfriend, and I kind of jokingly was like, God, I hope he's not some 25-year-old. Well, he is. He's a 20-year-old college student. Do you guys know that shady blog All About the Tea? When they reported it, they tweeted this. They wrote, 16-year-old Honey Boo Boo is dating 20-year-old black college student. I know the woman that runs that blog, by the way. She's black too, so I guess she can get away with it. But anyway, she got dragged in the comments of that tweet. So yeah, Honey Boo Boo is dating an older gentleman, Honey Boo Boo's boo. The age of consent in Georgia is 16, so legally they are in the clear. But Alana, she only turned 16 like a week ago. So look, I'm not going to comment any further, but connect the dots. You know, when I was her age, when I was like 16, I was definitely dating 20-year-olds, but 15... hell no, that is like too much. So it's real suspicious. I guess they're probably filming the next season of Mama June right now. So let's see if Honey Boo Boo's boo makes an appearance. Look, I've got some advice for him. Stay the fuck away from the cameras unless you want to go to jail. So I would get very far away from that set if I were him. Just a mess. Speaking of dating older men, Colton Underwood has debuted his first boyfriend. Now, you guys know that I'm obsessed with Colton Underwood. He is the crazy former bachelor that stalked Cassie. And then when he got cancelled, he came out as gay and then everyone liked him again. Then he got a Netflix show. He's just a mess. He's very, very hot. He's dating this hairy-chested, bearded, 38-year-old political strategist, and not just any political strategist, a strategist for the Democrats. He is like the worst kind of Democrat too, because he's like a total caricature of the coastal Democratic, like elite fundraising freak that just like uses politics to rub shoulders with like celebrities and like important people in these like political power circles. You can just see that he's one of these gross like social climbing types. I went through his IG. It's bleak, you guys. I mean, he hangs out with like Gus Kenworth and Olivia Wilde and Sophia Bush. Apparently, Sophia Bush is an activist now. I just knew her from One Tree Hill, but she is an activist now, according to IG. So if I ever put activist in my IG bio, please put a bullet in my head. This guy, Jordan, this is Colton's boyfriend. His name is Jordan something. He's got selfies with Hillary Clinton and Gavin Newsom. When I posted the picture of him with Gavin Newsom, I can't tell you how many vomit emojis I got back from you guys in my DMs. And I saw him like going, not Gavin Newsom, Jordan, Colton's man. He goes to all of those like bullshit events in LA that's like the Hollywood Reporters Women in Entertainment Power Issue Awards. And, you know, it'll be like Deborah Messing will get up and speak and then they'll give her like the Courage Award or something. Like he goes to all of that bullshit. So things couldn't get any worse. He's also a singer and he has a link to a Coldplay cover in his bio, Fix You to be specific. I mean, come on, you guys. It does not get any worse than a fucking Coldplay cover. Actually, it can, because I saw him posing with Pete and Chasten Buttigieg. You guys know that I have Mayor Pete derangement syndrome, so I was very triggered when I saw that photo. Did you see that those two bought some twins, by the way? CIA Pete really wants to be president if he snatched up two babies. I mean, one is not enough. You know that some strategist would have calculated that Pete will have like a higher chance of getting an Us Weekly cover with twins, so they went for the twin deal. But yeah, look, Colton's boyfriend, I'm kind of shocked because I thought Colton wanted, you know, a big, strong conservative man, but I guess not. And you know what? It does kind of make sense because Colton's very fake and Colton's such a social climber and he does pretend that he lives this low-key rustic lifestyle in Denver and like doesn't care about fame, but it's like, girl, you have a Netflix deal and you're hanging out with celebrities and doing all this other shit. Like, you were obviously running in a particular kind of like elite gay circle if you even met this Jordan guy. So we see who you are. We see each other. And I will continue following Colton's journey because I'm low-key obsessed with him. So I am watching Beverly Hills. I watched the last episode, the one where Erica went off on Sutton. Finally, it's been teased for a very long time. This episode was overhyped. Like, it was really good, but Bravo called it the Dinner Party from Hell Part 2, which it was not. And people said it was like the best episode in the history of the show. It was not. The Dinner Party was like the last half of the episode, and then it ended on a to be continued. I feel like if you really want to make it the Dinner Party from Hell, the whole episode needs to be the dinner party. I don't want to end on it to be continued. I don't want like other dinner parties featured at the front of the episode because they did have one with like Crystal and Sutton and everything, but it was still a good episode. When Erica lost it at Sutton, she was snarling like a rabid dog. It was kind of funny. Like, it was epic, but it, okay. So I've been saying this. I think I said this to Grant. I think I said this to Dan as well, but with the way Erica's behaving, it's like, look, if she's innocent of this shit, then girl, you are a badass. Good for you. Love it. Like, Erica, defend yourself. Like, mow down these bitches. But if she's guilty and she's behaving like this, like, she's just like evil. Like, she's the worst person ever. And she is a bully too, by the way, because just in a different way, because I know I called LVP and Garcelle bullies. Erica is a bully in a different way. Like, she doesn't. LVP and Garcelle will like poke you and like antagonize you from the sides. Erica doesn't really like fuck with anyone else, but then if you question Erica or do anything she doesn't like, it's like she'll just turn, like she will just annihilate you. Like, I thought Sutton was going to wet herself on the spot. It was so funny. Very aggressive. What else? Oh, Garcelle was so fake. So in two separate scenes in the episode, Garcelle totally let Sutton get fucking dragged. She got dragged by Erica. Garcelle's probably scared of Erica. Crystal dragged Sutton as well. And Garcelle didn't say shit in the moment. And then, of course, confessional bandit Garcelle, she's in her confessionals like, I'm Team Sutton. Why are they singling out Sutton? It's like, girl, say it to their face. Like, you are fake. And there's a preview of a scene next week, which I'll talk about next episode, where she tries to start some shit with Rinna and Rinna kind of diffuses it. And it's very funny. I saw the preview of it, but we'll get into that later. But yeah, whatever. Garcelle and Sutton, I don't think they're even friends. I think that they just made an alliance last season because they were the new girls and they were kind of on the out. So it was like, look, stronger if we stick together. That's why they were like hanging out on Instagram and doing all of those selfies for the fans because, you know, they love those tweets. What else? Apparently everyone hates Crystal. What the hell? I don't get why people don't like Crystal. Crystal's like the realest one. I feel like she's like Heather Dubrow. And people keep saying on social media, they keep saying she's like a mean girl and a snob. I don't think so. I mean, yes, she's being shady to Sutton, but, and I like Sutton, but like Sutton acted like a crazy person around Crystal. So why the fuck would Crystal have the time of day for Sutton? So get over it. I don't think she's a snob. I do think of her as like Heather Dubrow because you guys know that I interviewed Heather Dubrow right at the start of this podcast, and I've told you this story before, but Heather Dubrow could not have been more down to earth in like the booking process and when we talked off camera and just all of that. Like, and she set me up with Dr. Drew, so nice, so down to earth. And then it's like Heather Dubrow has this image of like, oh, look, she's so rich and fancy. She must be like a total snob. But I experienced this whole other side of her, and I have been listening to Crystal do some other people's podcasts, and she sounds like very down to earth. So I think Crystal has the same thing where maybe the way that she's being shown on the show doesn't really capture her full personality. Like, I find her a lot like Eileen Davidson. Like, she's just sort of keeps it real, but she doesn't unnecessarily get into random drama. Like, she's not getting involved in the Erica thing because it's like she doesn't fucking know any of these people. Like, why is she going to chime in about Erica and come after Erica? And then people are angry because she has an issue with Sutton, and then everyone wants to get behind Sutton and Garcelle because they perceive Sutton and Garcelle to be like holding Erica accountable, even though they're really not. Like, anyway, let's not even go over that anymore. We've done that. One last thing before I bring Grant out. This is something that has driven me insane. I actually ranted about it earlier on Dan's pod. So I'm feeling very drained. But Did you guys see how Joe Rogan got COVID, right? And then he recovered from it within a few days, like good as new. And he took a cocktail. Basically, he used some different prescription drugs, vitamin drips, antibodies, which he has access to. They're very expensive, but, you know, he's a rich and famous celebrity, so he got that. And one of the prescription drugs he used was ivermectin. Every media headline for the last few days is saying, Joe Rogan took horse dewormer for COVID. Okay, listen up, idiots. Ivermectin is a safe and effective antiparasitic drug that has been widely used for years and years for humans. It is a prescription drug for humans. There is also a version for animals. It is used on dogs and horses. You can buy it online. They're different. Joe Rogan wasn't using horse paste, okay? Joe Rogan was using the human version of ivermectin in tandem with multiple other things like vitamins and other prescription drugs, okay? And yes, ivermectin is not a proven treatment for COVID, by the way. Like, obviously, there's discussion about it, although you're not allowed to actually talk about ivermectin. If you even mention it on YouTube, you get pulled down, your videos get pulled off YouTube and everything because the censorship is so... I mean, you guys know that if you even post anything on Instagram that mentions anything with COVID, it has like warning labels and stuff. I tweeted something about Joe Rogan, and then underneath it, my friend sent me a screenshot of the feed where like government ads about, I tweet about my side effects, sorry, not about Joe Rogan, because I got my first jab the other week, and like I'm getting my other jab soon. I'm all for the get vaccine if you want. I'm not telling anyone what to do. I personally chose to get it. I had some horrible side effects from the first jab, and I just tweeted about it. And then there was like a government in the US comes up with a government sponsored tweet of like, side effects are normal. Please click here to find more information. It's so creepy, but can't talk about ivermectin. You can't talk about any of this stuff without either being censored or having like these fucking government paid ads and warnings flash up over it. So the current word on ivermectin is that it's not a proven treatment for COVID. I don't fucking know if it is or if it isn't. I'm assuming that it's not. But why can't the media just say this? Like, why do they have to make a fake news headline and go, Joe Rogan used horse paste? It's like, if you actually think Joe Rogan was taking fucking horse dewormer that he bought off of Amazon, you're either one, very ignorant, or you're just a liar. Like, there's no other option. Like, are you stupid or are you a liar? And you know what? With a lot of these headlines, it's that they're liars. Like, they know they're doing it. They're doing it on purpose. But then, like, the way the media works is that one media outlet writes it, and because most media outlets are under pressure to like generate headlines and clicks and everything, so they don't really have time to research stuff themselves, so they just copy what the other person did. So then it spreads, and every single headline, if you type it in, is Joe Rogan used horse dewormer, which is just not true. It's factually incorrect. I can't even, like, I'm going a little stir crazy, obviously, here in Australia with the lockdowns and stuff, so when I see these fake headlines everywhere, it's kind of like just infuriating to me. And I'm like, why can't you just say Joe Rogan used prescription drugs, including ivermectin and a vitamin drip to beat COVID? He made a full recovery. There's no data to support that ivermectin is a cure for COVID. The official recommendation from government health officials is to get vaccinated. Why can't you just say that? You're just reporting the facts then. But they have to lie and make up and go, Joe Rogan is using horse dewormer. And it's like, then you wonder why people complain about fake news. Like, it's literally fake news. Like, and this is like every mainstream outlet right now. I said to Dan earlier, I'm like, Joe Rogan's like the new fucking Britney Spears. Like, back in the day when anything Britney Spears did, there was like a negative headline and a spin on it. And they do that to Joe Rogan now. It's like unbelievable. Also, I have seen other people try to go the other way that maybe are like big Joe Rogan fans, and they're trying to use Joe Rogan's experience to go, oh, look, you don't need to get vaccinated. Just use the fucking ivermectin, do what Joe did, and you'll cure COVID. Well, that's not true, because it's like, one, the average person's not as healthy as Joe Rogan. Like, Joe Rogan is like J-Lo level healthy with, you know, all the money he has and how much he invests in his health. Most people don't have access to this whole like kitchen sink approach that Joe Rogan did. Like, Rogan has the best healthcare professionals in the world treating him, and he used antibodies, which I think Trump used antibodies as well to beat COVID, and they are effective, but they're very expensive. Like, we wouldn't really have access to that. So probably don't compare yourself to Joe Rogan unless you're like Ronda Rousey or something, then it's applicable. But, you know, otherwise we're kind of in a different situation to him. But, you know, I'm not anti-vax. I'm not pro-vax, I'm just like pro-truth. Like, let's talk about vaccines. Let's talk about ivermectin. Let's just mention it all and stop with the censorship and just have accurate headlines about things and like figure it out. But instead, it's just fake news, fake news, fake news, like over and over. Also, it's so funny because these people, right, they're doing like their agenda is to make Rogan look stupid. They're angry that he beat COVID. So they want to say that he used horse dewormer and make fun of him. But it's like, what you're doing now is you're leading the average person to think, oh, Joe Rogan beat COVID using like horse paste off Amazon, horse dewormer. So then you're probably increasing sales for it. You're probably making people more curious about it and going and getting the horse animal version of it. Whereas if you just reported factually and said he's using a prescription drug for humans, ivermectin, people are going to go, oh, like, let me see if I can at least get like a prescription for that from my doctor, which is like much safer than leading people to use the animal version. So it's so irresponsible and is just like not even doing what it's not even having the result that they want it to have with their stupid agenda. And then they're angry at Joe Rogan because they think he spreads misinformation. Bitch, you are spreading misinformation. You're spreading more misinformation than fucking Joe Rogan does. And it's like, they're smug about it too. They're smug that he got COVID, but it's like, why are you so smug? Like, he beat COVID using the methods that he's talked about in his podcast that you've dunked on. Like, you've been dunking on Joe Rogan for like a year. Then he got COVID and like literally he followed what he promotes on his podcast and cured it. Like, you look like the fucking idiot, like not Joe. And shouldn't we be happy for people beating COVID like any way they can, whether you're getting vaxxed or you're, I don't know, fucking using antibodies and vitamin drips like Joe Rogan? Like, let's just be happy that someone beat it and maybe we can figure out more approaches to beating COVID. Like, what about people that do have something wrong where they can't get vaccinated? Like, my friends, they have a lot of blood clots that run in their, like, literally deadly blood clots that run in their family. So, you know, the AstraZeneca here, there's risk of blood clots. And I went and got the AstraZeneca and they tell you about it and they make you aware of all of the side effects and the blood clot things. And my friends were naturally like, you know, scared to get it. And I think they're getting it now. But, you know, there are certain people that can't get the vax. So let's be encouraging of people who manage to defeat COVID any way possible. This has like made my head explode. It's crazy. I even talked to my friend the other day who's like really into the vax stuff and like into the lockdowns. Like, he's into the whole thing. He buys into everything. And I said something that like wasn't even controversial at all about boosters. And I was like, yeah, I think like old people need boosters, but I don't know if like, you know, healthy 20-year-olds like need to be getting the boosters yet, like mandatory boosters. Cause I'm not really against the vax. I'm against all the mandatory shit. And he heard something completely different than I said. And it was just whatever. He just like totally twisted. I'm like, that's not what I said. And then he realized he made a mistake, but I'm like, people are so hopped up on it now. They're not even like hearing what you say. I'm sorry, it's crazy. Anyway, let's just get back to some fun shit. I'm going to bring Grant out. Don't be mad at me for bringing this up. I haven't been locked down here for months. Of course, I'm going a little crazy, a little cuckoo here. I'm actually about to shave my neck after this because, of course, the hairdresser has not been open in Australia for months and months. So, no, I have not got a haircut yet. Neither has Chunky. I have been washing Chunky myself and, you know, trimming his fur. Doing the best I can, but he is a long-haired breed, so it would be nice to be able to get to a dog groomer maybe sometime this year. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. If you want to support me and the pod, you can sign up to patreon.com/unpopularjp. I have bonus content on there, and then you also are just supporting me, so we love that for me. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at UnpopularJP. Please leave me a review on like Podchaser or Apple. That helps a lot, especially if you're in Australia, because my reviews are more negative in Australia than America. So if you can leave me a nice review in Australia, that helps. And last but not least, spread the word. Tell people about the pod. That's going to help me grow a lot. And yeah, you know, bigger is better. So thanks, guys. And here's Grant. Bye. Okay, guys, I have my good friend on the pod today. His podcast was actually, I think, the first podcast I have ever been on. He's probably the only podcaster grumpier than I am. Please welcome Grant Rutter from Grant's Rants.
Hi, hello. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. You know, I've been thinking about like the positive angle of things, and I feel like I've almost been too negative. So that opening really reminds me, like, you better lighten up, well, bitch.
You are a negative Nancy, but like that's kind of what makes your show good, because it's like everyone's so like fake positive, you know? Like, especially in the podcast space, they're so full of shit. So if you are a negative Nancy, it's like kind of good.
I don't want to be considered negative, but I want to be considered a truth teller, like cutting through the BS, like just keeping it real. Like, yeah, it's too much fakery. So many people are trying to get other people to come on their podcast and they're never coming. So stop kissing their ass and just say it like it is.
I get it all the time. I get called grumpy and stuff too, but it is funny because I will talk about stuff that I love like a lot, but then because you talk negatively about like the one thing someone hates, then they're like, you're such a hater, you're so negative. It's like, oh, fuck off. Like, literally, like I spend the other half of the show talking about shit that I like.
Yeah. Why do we have to love Kyle Richards? Like, why? Why do we have to love her? I just don't
get it. I love Kyle Richards. I'm a fucking... I actually was probably the biggest Kyle hater ever. I mean, LVP and Kyle, I don't think someone could hate them any more than I did. And then in the last few years, I've really done this like a 180 on Kyle, where she's like my favorite person. I think she's amazing.
Really? Oh my god, the internet would argue differently. People are like waking up to her being like this manipulative like snake in the grass, which I don't really have a strong opinion about Kyle either way. That's why I used her as an example of like, why do I have to hate her? Because I really don't like she's there and she's gonna be there whether we want her there or not. So
what Bravo stuff are you even watching at the moment? Because I know you've been like falling off the Bravo bandwagon.
Yeah, I finished New York just to like, let's go, let's get it done.
Oh, we're going to get into that.
Caught up on that. I have dug into Beverly Hills. I started not watching at all. Then I was like, how are they covering this with the after shows on YouTube? You know, where they like, you know, sit in front of those same screens and talk.
Yeah.
And waste a lot of time. Those things could be tightened up so much. Yeah. And then with just the buzziness of what's happening with the dinner party and how Erica is completely mishandling everything, I was like, okay, let me see how they're serving this. Let me see how this is presented. So I have been watching and, you know, I will like on a pause. Can I say a positive thing?
Yes. Say a positive thing.
Okay. One positive thing is I loved the Hilton story, like pre Housewives. So I like the moment that Kyle and what's her face has, Kathy, where they look back and it's like a real soap opera. There's flashbacks, there's family history, there's money involved, there's, you know, there's a lot to dig into. So I enjoyed that. And I was pleasantly surprised by that story.
Isn't it funny that they haven't got Kim on for even a guest spot? And that to me makes me think Kim's like back on the who knows what, back on the gear, back on the sauce, because she sort of vanished off the face of the planet. She stopped talking to Brandi Glanville, who was her little BFF, and Brandi said on her podcast, Kim does not talk to me. And then I think we've seen Kim like twice. Like we saw her coming out of a restaurant or something with Kyle and Kathy. I saw that on Twitter and she looked high as a kite. And then we saw a leaked cameo video and she looked high as a kite. Although the thing with Kim is that she's so quirky anyway, even when she's not high. Sometimes it's just her personality, so you're not sure.
Yeah, you never really know. Yeah, she should have been part of that scene with the two sisters. That would have made so much sense. It would have been a full circle moment to have the three of them have that conversation. Missed opportunity. Pay her.
Do you think they'll do it next season?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone's... I think sometimes you and I are the only ones who think like this. We're the only ones who are planning ahead. We're the only ones who have a vision. I don't really think anyone's even given it a thought. I think someone sent like a text to Kim. It was like at the beginning of the season, like, do you want to make an appearance? But like negotiate from now. Kim probably didn't respond. And they were like, we're good with Kathy. I'm making it up, but...
No, I can see that. And I don't think Kim would film for free. So maybe she had asked for a certain amount of money and they said no. And she just went, nah.
That's probably what it is. Yeah.
How are you on? Because I think you're like you're a big Erica Jane hater. I'm one of the people that's not an Erica hater, but I am trying to be Erica neutral because I'm like, I just want to see what happens with the case and go from there. And I enjoy, I mean,
neutral. I give you credit because I mean, I'm like so polarized against her.
Well, you know what it is, though, honestly, and, like, this could just be a blind spot for me. Like, it's too complicated for me. You know what I mean? Like, I always say, like, I don't want to watch fucking McMillions on HBO. I want to watch The Real Housewives. So I'm not doing the, like, the true crime dive that everyone else is doing. Like, I hear it on the podcast and stuff because it's kind of impossible. But I'm just, like, I was listening to one last night, and they had a lawyer that worked with Girardi on, and they were explaining this, like, lottery thing with Erica. I'm like, wait, what? Like, it's just too many numbers. I don't get it. So I'm just like, look, is she guilty or not? Like, I don't need to know. Like,
I don't claim to know all of it either. I do follow it. Of course, it's bits and pieces. There are, like you said, there are podcasters who live and breathe this. There are daily updates on YouTube by YouTubers.
This is like nothing I've seen before with this in the Bravo universe.
Yeah.
The legal stuff. I mean, you've got like legal, they've got like this Bravo docket now, which is like a whole podcast on the Erica legal stuff. And then you kind of have like the Ronald Richards, Emily Baker, and other people that sort of do the tours around. They like talk about it a lot. Like, there's such an appetite for it.
There really is. It's this true crime tie-in that people just love. I think it's despicable, personally, how it's been handled, how it's been televised, how she's acted, how she's spoken, how she's presented herself, what she's shown off just in the season alone. So, I don't have any real respect at this point. I know that she's contractually obligated to do the show, but, I mean, I say it all the time. Where is her legal team? Where are these people? Because we're watching stuff that aired around Christmas time in the beginning of the year of 2021. And there's a lot that obviously that has unfolded since then. But this is what people are being fed weekly. And it's just, there's no remorse. There's none of it. We're seeing someone who I believe is having their world crumble around them. They can't keep up with the lies and the spin. And they're hoping that people like Lisa Rinna will sit there and smile and say, oh, be kind to thy neighbor and all this stuff and just like let it move along. But, you know, Erica, I think you're pretty rotten, and I think you get what you get in this case. Come on.
But don't you think that she maybe is not allowed to show any remorse, because then that's like an admission of guilt? So maybe as part of her defense, she can, like, maybe she does feel bad, but she can't.
Public relations, though, because that's my biggest issue with her is like, you look like crap the way you're behaving. You look bad. An innocent person doesn't behave like she did this last week on the show. And what? So,
I mean, I kind of think she's a bad... Look, I said this earlier, right? I'm like, okay, it's two things. If she's, like, actually not guilty, and then she's behaved like this, I'm like, you're the biggest badass ever, because I fucking love how you just, like, chew these girls up. But if you actually are guilty and you're behaving like this, you are, like, the scum of the earth. So I just have to see what happens with the case.
I think that the only person I see benefiting is Erica. And I know people are going to say, but Grant, the legal fees and the lawyers and all that stuff. But, you know, I'm not driving around in a Range Rover over $100,000. I'm not walking around with the Cartier ring on. I'm not walking around renting a house that's, what, over $3,000 a month. My rent went up in my current apartment. I can't even afford to stay in a studio. So I have no debt. I have no income in for me. I don't have a lawyer. I don't need one. But this one is living pretty well. Hancock Park in L.A.? So, I don't feel bad at all. I think if you want to have that, you're entitled to have that, but don't show it off on TV. Say, you know what? I'm going to do the show. I'll honor my contract. Let's go out. I'll meet you out. I don't need to see you washing down the refrigerator door going, oh, I'm such a victim at all of this. And then you go with this huge updo with the braid woven in and all this stuff. It's like, who's paying for that? Where's that coming from? So I think it's insulting, honestly, because we're supposed to feel she now has made herself the full-on victim on the show when there are actual true victims who, like, there's a long list, and some of those victims are on the bottom of that list, and they'll never see their money.
I can't believe that you said that you can't afford rent in New York now, because you would think that they would make it fucking cheaper with all the flooding and shit that I'm seeing. I mean, is that what it's like? I see that on Twitter, like, everything's flooded and fucked up. I'm like, is the world ending? Like,
I mean, to be here is, you know, I don't see any of that. You know, it's the news. It's there. If you notice, it's the same, like, four clips that they loop over and over. Now, yeah, I mean, you know, there's one within less than a mile of me, one of those subway stations that had the water and all that. But, like, you know, I mean, I don't know. When LA, it was not much better. All these cities are just such a disaster. I don't know what to say. But yeah, the rents are really, really sky high because of greed, because these landlords have lost out on so much money. And now they decided that, so I've been told, oh, it's all over with and everything's back to the way that it was. And based on what? Based on what? Who said that? Show me the evidence.
Yeah, I feel the same as you about the cities. I'm actually leaving Sydney soon, partially because of the lockdown. So my housemate is moving out, and I was like, okay, well, like, what do I do? Do I want to get, because Sydney's like, it's probably the most expensive city in Australia. If not, it's like the second, one of them. And I'm like, look, should I just get a one bedroom? Because I'm not sharing with anyone anymore. So I'm like, do I get like a studio or a one bedroom in the kind of area that I want to live in and like pay through the nose? Or should I just move back to like my hometown now and see what the fuck's going on with COVID for a while and like lay low and then decide what to do? And I'm just going to like leave for a while and see what happens. Because I've been in like months of lockdown here. I haven't even been able to enjoy the city. They're overpriced anyway. I'm like, oh, maybe it's time to go country. I don't know, because I can work from home now. So I kind of
see. I feel like I don't have a choice because I gave up my old life in LA, moved to New York at the end of last year, and I'm trying to build my life here. And I don't really have that many people in my life, so I'm making new friends here. And I don't want to waste any more time, you know. And going home for me is not an option. There's no home left. So I just need to I have to make it work. And I feel like I've come so far. I don't want to give up the city just now. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at places, and it really is like signing your soul away. And you know, you're trying to get excited that a place has, you know, renovated hardwood floors, and oh, there's a view of a tree, and like I'm trying to talk myself into these things. You know, it's tough, and this is the life that I chose. So I'm not unlike Erica. I'm not here crying at the end of the table, but it's tough. I mean, you know, the bench. I don't know if you feel this way, but the goalposts keep moving because the cost of living rises. The way just stay the same, then things, the climate fluctuates and you cannot keep up. So I have to live on my own. It's just a choice that I've made for my own quality of life. So yeah, as a single person, good luck.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like I'm half the reason I like want to get married and have a partner is literally the finances.
Oh,
I'm
100%.
Like, God, this would be be so much easier.
I said to a friend, this is terrible, but I was like, I don't even care if it's a good relationship, as long as there's just some of the benefits to it. Because I mean, if you think about it, as a single person, I'm sure people listening can relate. Whether they're single or not, like, we are spending 100% of every cost. There's no splitting fees. There's no going half and half on the electric bill or on a hotel or a rent, nothing. The groceries, there's no splitting. So as a single person, you have better make a lot of money and have a stable career to be able to just live, you know? And it's just not right. You know, the cost of living is too high. I've never worked longer and harder and made more money, but I can't seem to keep up. And that's a lot of it is New York, I know. But this is the life that I want for myself. Why can't I enjoy it?
I know. Yeah, sorry. It's fucked. No, I agree with you so much. I feel like everywhere sucks because, like, I see what's going on in New York, that I hear everyone complaining about California.
Yeah. Then what a waste. For me, anyway, then, I enjoy it.
Then here in Australia, we have these fucking like fascist lockdowns for like months where you can't get a haircut. I can't take the dog to the groomer. I was saying on my Patreon the other week, I'm like, bitch, like I want to move to like a red state. I'm like, I want to move where I have my freedom. But then I see my like Texas with this abortion ban. And then I'm like, that's fucked. Maybe I don't want to live in a red state. Like, I'm just like, where is it going?
Oh my God. I know. I don't know where the hell you go. Because, yeah, a lot of New Yorkers went to Florida. And I'm like, how are they happy with that? How are the people who lived in Manhattan happy living, like, in Florida, where it's the total diametric opposite of what it is, like, values in life, in my point of view, from just laws and, you know, politics?
But do you think maybe it's not as bad? Do you think when you live in like one of these liberal cities, like you live in the fucking LA or New York, then you get it in your head that like every other state is, you know, like rednecks and all of this stuff, and then you actually go there and you're like, oh wow, this living is actually much better quality in many ways, you know?
I believe there are pockets. Like my cousin loves this place, Dunedin, Florida. She claims it's like a hippie town, it's a beach community, everyone's very open, there's a big gay population there. So I guess you gotta look. I don't know, I have not that well traveled, so yeah. I guess you gotta look. But I don't, I always wanted to be in New York, so I don't know. Yeah. Here I am.
Speaking of New York, I want to get into the Housewives of New York with you, because I feel like you're sort of the New York expert. It's your favorite show. We disagree on who we like and dislike on this a lot. Like, I think you're a Sonya fan. I'm a Sonya hater. Okay, first of all, this season, was this the worst season ever, or do you think the hate was overblown?
You know, I definitely let it, the internet and Twitter, poison my mind against it. Because had I watched this blindly, I'd say, ooh, those episodes with all that teaching and preaching and stuff, those are just not great shows. But there's a lot of that in Housewives seasons. Not every episode is the dinner party from hell. Not every episode is going to be iconic, as hard as like the Instagram accounts try. Not everything is iconic.
Oh, and they fucking try hard. Even that, sorry, yeah. I could cut in with the Beverly Hills. That Erica did, they called it Dinner Party from Hell Part 2. I'm like, that was not the Dinner Party from Hell Part 2. Half the episode was just setting up for it, and like a completely different dinner with like Crystal and Kathy, and it wasn't the Dinner Party from Hell Part 2. Like, stop trying to like pretend that these things are happening.
Yeah, no, that's like, just let certain things breathe. It's been what, 10 years? So let's just move on. But you know, what was I gonna say about New York. I don't think it worked. I know like there's a million things, and Bravo will say, well, it was a good season given that it was COVID and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know. It was passable. It was not can't miss TV for me. I still remain the same how I feel about Leah, where I enjoy her. I know like the internet is.
Oh, I love her. You're actually a Leah fan too.
Yeah.
Finally. I fucking love Leah.
Yeah. I know. I never really changed my opinion on her. And I got to say, I mean, your interview with her was really good. And I liked what y'all talked about. Like, I think I DM'd you and was like, I would just love to talk with her just about Free Britney and like, ignore Housewives and Bravo. They can't say crap anyway. And just talk about, like, I feel like we're aligned on a lot of things, and I only really learned that and learned who she was because of your podcast, not even the show.
Yeah, well, I had kind of got to know her a bit, and then I was like, well, and I kind of got the vibe from the show and from interviews that because I'd read some interviews and stuff that she'd written outside of the show. And I'm like, people are totally misreading her. And I'm like, please come on and let's just let people see who you are. So I'm glad that happened. And I feel like she definitely became a scapegoat for the season being bad. Like, people sort of directed it all onto her when Ebony was a fucking problem. I say this every week, constantly. Ebony was one of the worst casting choices ever. And it's not even just all of the woke stuff and the teaching and preaching. It's that that wasn't authentic, which we're going to get to her up for the conservative chair on The View. But we've got that coming up. But it was just fake.
I just want to add, I think Ebony was cast with a job to do. I think production came to her and they were trying to sweeten the deal, and like, this is an opportunity for you to have a platform, and you know, you're going to be able to, you know, this diverse group of women with different backgrounds that you're going to be able to educate. And you know, she took that job seriously. I mean, she was getting paid to do it, so you can't really blame her in a way for showing up with what she was hired to do, but it really turned against her. And I'm dying to know where these women are aligned at now. It doesn't sound like they're aligned at all.
I think she was brought in for that purpose. I just don't think anyone could have ever imagined it would have gone to the level that it went to. And then in the press and the interviews, like, I think they thought it was going to be more of a Tiffany Moon, like when Tiffany Moon came in and she on Dallas and she kind of schooled Brandy because Brandy had been racist, did a racist video, and then they kind of moved on. But, you know, Ebony didn't move on.
Yeah.
So they're doing a reunion now, weeks after the finale, which is completely bizarre because it's like, well, you've missed the window for a reunion and now you're doing it. They broke this in the Daily Mail in this big story. I've got to say, as someone that works in this industry, these Daily Mail leaks are definitely pretty accurate. Like, there's been a lot of leaks coming out about the show. From what I know and just how I know how to decipher these articles and stuff, there's a lot of truth to all of this stuff. Now, the reunion was cancelled, and I did reveal that on my Patreon, and then I had people messaging me going, oh, so your tea was wrong. Like, they were doing a reunion. I'm like, bitch, the reunion was cancelled. Like, who has a reunion, like, over a month after the finale? Like, they had some behind-the-scenes stuff going on, and it was, like, a shit show, and now I think they've worked through that enough to do a reunion. I'm still kind of confused as to why they're doing it so late. Like, here's what a source quote from the Daily Mail said. The division had run so deep among the cast that we were worried this would be an absolute dumpster fire that would look horrendous for each of the women and the network. I still think it's going to look horrendous. I mean, you're going to have all these white women piling on Ebony. Like, don't you think?
Well, I think that could be. However, I don't know whose idea it was to make this season like woke Roni, because that really was kind of the theme. And I'm wondering if Bravo is going to distance themselves and Angie Cohen will read from his cards some softball questions about it. They'll give it like an 8-minute segment at most with a few clips, and then they'll move on from it. Obviously, they have to touch upon it, but I don't think it's going to be the theme of the reunion. I think they realize they made a major mistake, but it's like too little too late. They have it's the elephant in the room. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's like right back to Sonya's townhouse and interns, like real quick. I don't know. Yeah. Is that the right thing to do? I don't know.
That's an interesting point that they might try and bury it. I don't know if with someone like Ebony, if you can get away with that, because I think once you open that, like it's gonna go all the way left, because I think Luann and Ramona feel a type of way. I think a lot of Ebony's like inconsistencies are going to come up, like, you know, her bringing up on camera about white supremacy, like, oh, I need to know if I'm filming with white supremacists. It's like, bitch, you were working at Fox, you were doing like all this other stuff, and now suddenly you're on The Housewives of New York and on camera. Now you're worried about white supremacists. Oh, and you're going off to do The View, like in the conservative chair, like, girl, stop.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting, because if a lot has happened, and of course, we're talking about a show that they're celebrating freaking Valentine's Day in the finale. I mean, these shows have got to close the gap. They cannot be this far away. But it depends what happened within that gap of all those months. If there's a lot to dig into, of she said. Because, yeah, that I would like to see where we're at now. And the press around this has been murky and questionable. So I'm wondering what will come to light. I do wonder, though, if it'll be like four women against.
Yeah, but, well, yeah. That's going to be just. That's why I think they had canceled it at first, because it's like, look, optics wise, whether Ebony deserves to be in the hot seat or not. Look, I know there's Ebony fans out there. You guys can argue that Ebony's the queen of the show. That's fine. But whether she deserves to be in the hot seat or not, those optics are not going to look good in this climate of like Ebony being ganged up on. I mean, God, you see how people act when fucking Lisa Vanderpump, the whitest woman on the planet, gets quote ganged up on, you know, or Denise, like, what's it going to look like with Ebony? Not a good look. Yeah, they are going on hiatus. This is the reports all over the media. I know this to be true from everything I hear. So here's a quote. After the reunion, the show will now be placed on pause while the production company and the network work out how they can revamp it for next season while pretending this season doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Andy Cohen and Sherry Levine at Bravo know what they are doing. By having a slight pause, the noise can be reduced. They can reinvent the show, bring it back, and make it fun again. I've heard that they want Tinsley back. Even I'd already heard that, and then our friend Jess had run into her, and Tinsley basically confirmed it, that she was thinking about it, but she's not sure. Do you think Tinsley should come back? Like, what do you think they should do with casting?
If they want to add Tinsley, it's not going to make much of a difference. I'm a big Tinsley fan. With it. But that's not going to course correct the show. She's not going to make like a big difference, you know. She wasn't a major driver of story. She was really supportive, you know, if anything else in the show. I enjoyed her story. I thought she was pretty genuine compared to a lot of the others. I don't know. I'm still not sold on Bethany. It doesn't even seem like an option. So it's like, why even go down that path? She, like, you know, she's equated it to like a stripper pole. So why do you even want that? You know, and
the amount of trashing she's done of the show is kind of crazy.
Yeah. And she would own the show if she came back. She'd get other producer credits, and she'd, you know, shape her own narrative. It's just not going to be what we want. I don't know. This show is in trouble, and it didn't have to get to this place. They made poor decisions with Dorinda. I don't know what that was all about, but it just, these shows, they let them go in these cycles for too long, and they don't grow them. I say all the time, because I produce shows for a living, and a show is a living, breathing thing. And if you just let it run its course, then you're going to be in this position where now you can't even produce it. So it shouldn't have ever gotten to this position, but they just, it's a cash cow, I guess. And they just let it roll. That's my point of view.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what I feel like Tinsley will probably, I think she'll be good too, because I think they need that younger energy. I think Sonya needs to go. I think Sonya is just, we've had enough. She's got no storyline. Like, you can't do the same thing, and it's just watching her become sort of more of an alcoholic as the time goes by. I think Luann,
That's a tough call, but I can understand it.
I mean, she should be. She's to me is the perfect friend of, like, just swish her in for a party here and there, and we get the fun, the antics, you know, the Lucille Ball antics, and then let's go. Like, we don't need her taking up a whole storyline. I think Ramona always delivers. Like, Ramona is just like TV gold. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you can get rid of Ramona. And, you know, Luann plays it safe. I think Luann holds back on camera again now. I think we saw the real Luann when she was falling in the bushes, and now she's sort of a little bit back to Countess Luann. But mm-hmm. I always just enjoy her. I think she's good on the show and sort of knows how it all works. I just feel like Ramona, Leah, and Luann and Tinsley, and then some new people, and let's go.
Last fall, do you remember last fall an article came out about Luann's son, how he did not speak to her?
Yes. Was that because she was trying to sell the family home or something?
Yeah, but this was recent, like more recent. It was like, because they've since made up with the daughter. She made up with her daughter anyway. But yeah, maybe they're still on the outs. But I remember seeing that and I was like, oh, well, that'll be interesting because they're filming right now. And I was like, well, what else is Luann going to have as a story? And we know her son Noel from the show. So I was like, well, they're definitely going to play into that. And we got right around that. And, you know, I don't really appreciate that. You know, I mean, it just acknowledge it. It's in the press. It's in the news. At least ask Luann about it or have, like, push Ramona to ask her about your son is in the press, you know,
and have her
say something. I mean, it's just, you know, it's odd that they went around that because that is their life. And I don't need to see the music.
Well,
video.
Then she has this fake storyline. But she's like, I'm doing this fake rosé. It's like, girl, like, because she doesn't want to show you that's the only reason I would say Luann needs to go is because she isn't giving us the real thing. I see on those, like, I mean, I hate Demois, but I see on those Instagram tipster accounts, people going, oh, I saw Luann drunk. Like, she's still drinking. Come on. Like, she's not, I don't think she's Mrs. like Sally sober. Like, I think she's like partying and then she shows up to filming, like, you know, fresh as a daisy. So I want the real life. You and I are huge haters of The View. You somehow manage to watch it every day. I don't know how.
Clips.
You just do the clips, not the full.
No. Small shots of poison. That's it.
Yeah, well, Meghan McCain is out, obviously. They haven't filled her yet, but they have some new co-hosts that are filling the chair. Ebony K. Williams is one, which was hilarious to me because I feel like she spent the whole season sort of and doing podcast interviews that she's not conservative, and now she's up for the conservative chair on The View, girl. She's also sharing the chair with a host of dusty old neocons. We've got, like, Condoleezza Rice, Carly Fiorina. I was looking her up. She's a fucking ghoul. She was on, like, she's on boards for, like, defense contractors and CIA and shit. Oh, they have Alyssa Farah. She was the communications director for Trump. They have Gretchen Carlson. I know Gretchen from that, from the movie, the Roger Ailes movie they did, I think. S.E. Cupp. Is she Fox or is she CNN?
CNN. She's been floated back and forth to The View for years. I actually don't mind her, but I mean, like, I don't know.
These people, with the exception of, Alyssa Farah, Ebony, and then they've also got Cameron Eubanks from Southern Charm, which is strange because she's not really that controversial. Yeah, well, I guess she's Republican because she's from the South, but she's very nice. Like, and we've already got – they've got that other blonde that's nice all the time. Like, you don't need two of those. But a lot of these – yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you don't need these, like, two friendly blondes, like, enough. So, Cameron's not going to work out. So, I feel like Alyssa Farah and Ebony, they're the only ones bringing any kind of youthful energy. Yeah. I mean, even though Ebony does have the demeanor of an 80-year-old, but they're the only ones that which she really does. She's like a buttoned-up, like church lady from another era. But all these other people, like, really? Condoleezza Rice? Like, that's who you're bringing out?
That's absurd. I mean, there's just no excuse for that. I mean, she really doesn't represent what they were going for. And, like, they have to think of, like, you have to think of price tags, too. I mean, is Condoleezza going to come cheap? And is she going to want to do this? Like, get in the car every day at, like, you know, 6 a.m., drive to the city. I mean, is she going to want to do that? And do we really value her opinion? Because I know I don't. I know I don't. It has nothing to do. It has everything to do with her politics. And that's, you know, nothing to do with her as a person. But, like, I'm not looking to her for her to give me some guidance on what's happening in the White House. She's not there. I don't need that. I don't need to hear what it was like to be there either in 2005. So I'm good.
It also seems so tone deaf right now with what we have going on with Afghanistan and all the talk about that.
Yes.
And then bringing Condi from, like, the Iraq war.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
Are you serious? Like, what the fuck?
I don't know how she made it onto a list. Like, you know how many people, seriously, have to sit and contribute to these lists? This is not the executive producer. They're not calling up Whoopi at 8 o'clock on a Friday night to be like, who do you want? This is like, these people are really doing like a strategic look at this show, what the direction is going to be, who they want to have, you know, brand recognition with and all this. And this list really is, I'm wondering if this is just like a total like mess, like just like a red herring, because it doesn't make sense. Now, however, I will say, I think Ebony is a better fit for the show than she is on Roni.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I think they should just fucking give her the job now. I mean, I think
she's
that...
She's safe enough for this show.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I'm saying?
And she... You need someone really strong in that chair, because the whole formula of The View is like, really, if you're sitting in the conservative chair, you're playing the villain. So, you know, Whoopi and Joy can look good. So you need to be, like, really tough to man that chair. So... Ebony can actually handle these old bats. I've said from the start that I think that Ebony would be great on The View. A lot of these picks, I mean, they're all horrendous, but they all kind of, they do fit The View. I mean, well, Ebony's a political flip-flopper of changing her politics to sort of whatever's going to advance her career. Obviously, fucking Condoleezza Rice, like these old neocons, like,
yeah,
they do fit The View, because look at who they're across. Like, these are the conservative equivalents of, like...
Yep. That's why I would not be surprised if they did put Gretchen Carlson on here, because she does have ties to Roger Ailes, and she has a story, and they can... This is typical View. They will somehow make all that stuff from the past so relevant. You know, Gretchen Carlson returns to TV after her, you know, her tumultuous Fox News past. Yeah, bombshell. You know, oh, I can just hear that woman's voice. Bombshell. Gretchen Carlson joins The View. And, you know, she'll come on. And the thing is, all these women have the same problem, no matter who they are. They're all very privileged, wealthy New York women, and they don't really have the temperature of what it's like to be a conservative woman in middle America, or even like a liberal woman in the middle of America who has different values. They're all kind of cut from the same cloth as far as, like, right now they have different backgrounds, yes, but right now they're all getting big ABC contracts, and they live the same type of lifestyle of living. Well, so how can you comment on this stuff when you have the same background, when you have the same amount of money, I'm saying?
Yeah, well, no one on The View reflects any real person's view, because I can't believe they went through for the past 8 years. They never had anyone to represent the Trump right, which is like the populist right. Like, how are you going to go through the Trump presidency? You don't have one person on there. Like, they dig up fucking Meghan McCain, who's there to like simp for John McCain, who was, you know, a relic of the past. So you don't have anyone representing
irrelevant
Trump.
This these days.
You don't.
Yeah.
Have anyone representing like the Bernie kind of left, the progressive left? It's all like we have the center right and the center like neo-libs.
You had Joy representing Bernie a couple of years ago, and she turned on him as fast as possible. And she claims that she had no support for him. It's like, rewind the tapes. Don't forget you named your dog after him, lady. So I mean, that's like ridiculous, and I can't respect that.
They have no values, these women. It's like whatever's on the check, they'll say. I mean,
they really are reading cards. They're reading prompters. You know, they all have their own producers that are in their ear feeding them the facts and figures. So what really is their view? And again, like, you know, they're all under network contracts. So they don't know what it's really like to be laid off from a job during COVID and then being underemployed and not getting benefits and having kids. They don't know what it's like. They got to work from home in front of like TV screens for 2 years, you know?
Yeah, it drives me insane seeing, and I know that I shouldn't even care about this because it's so stupid, but just going on Twitter and like I don't know, seeing people treat it like it's like a progressive show and like all the gays especially. And I just think, what the fuck are you watching? Like, don't you see this is just bullshit? Like, they don't even know what they're talking about. They're reading off a cue card that someone's given them. Like, they can't even formulate a point, really, or an opinion themselves that hasn't been, like, preloaded from a fucking producer behind the scenes. Yeah. I did think that, look, Meghan McCain was bad, but I felt like Meghan was the realest one on there to me. I felt like she believed what she said more than some of the others and was, like, passionate about it. I also think she played the role, the villain role on that show really well, and I think it's going to be harder than they realize to fill her spot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's been Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and then there's been Meghan McCain. No one really remembers any of the other conservatives that have gone through there over the years. So you've got two in all of that time.
Yeah, I mean, who's the other one that's over at MSNBC? Nicole Wallace, like, they handed her the keys over there. I mean, she did it really. She didn't do what they wanted to do, and they have to take that into account when they're picking somebody new. I think Ebony can speak to pop culture. She can speak to race. She can speak to conservative viewpoints, I guess. So she checks enough boxes for them as far as like being a TV host. And she's clearly very, you know, very well spoken as a host on TV. She's not, you know, new to the TV game.
She's beautiful.
Read a prompter.
Too.
Yeah, she's youthful. So that seems like a good move. However, I think it will be Gretchen Carlson.
Really? That's.
I don't agree with it.
Yeah, no. I know. But if they choose Gretchen Carlson as well over like an Ebony, because I like my vote's for Ebony, honestly, it's not even shade. Like, I think she'll objectively fit that role. Yes. But if they choose Gretchen Carlson, it's like, well, you really don't want to appeal to a young audience. Like, you really want, you just want the Karen audience. Like, you're not even trying. Because there are a lot of young, like, gays and stuff. Maybe not young. Fucking Gen Z is not watching The View. But there's still millennials. Because millennials are kind of old now. So there's still people in their late 20s and early 30s and stuff that are watching The View. A lot of gay men. I mean, I guess gay men like watching older women, so maybe that's why they get away with it. I don't know. I just thought they would try to young it up, because what do you do when, like, Whoopi or Joy, do you just cancel the show when they're not there?
I know. I mean, really, I can't believe they're still in those cast photos. Like, these two faces. What is The View going to do when Joy's like, you know what? I can't speak anymore. I'm done. I want to go vacation. I don't want to be in the city 5 days a week. Goodness, she can barely show up now. I mean, could barely be bothered. But the thing
I feel like Whoopi's on another planet. Whoopi's so... I don't think Whoopi knows what she's saying half the time. Yeah. She's like Joe Biden. I'm not even kidding. It's like, do you know what planet you're on right now? Like, I'm shocked when I see her. Like, and she doesn't have much charisma, and she just seems grumpy when she tries to moderate and, like, confused. Yeah. And it's like, honey, like...
Oh, I need her to give her View a little more. I mean, she sets it up and then everybody barks at each other about what they read on their note cards. And then they go back to her and she's like, all right, we'll be back. And I'm like, but no, what do you make of this? Like, you're on the panel as well. So I need more of her, because like when she's good, she really ties it together and she, you know, really tries to pick like people's viewpoints and tie it into her own when she really wants to. But it's rare. The thing with this show is they will go the safest route possible. They will go with what gets them press. And if there's anyone under the age of 50, they will care about engagement on social media. So maybe they won't go with Gretchen, but I think they probably will, because I think that she's conservative but safe enough. And I think that she will bring some arguments to the table, but she'll get along to go along where I think Meghan did not want to play.
Well, where do you think Meghan's going to go now? Like, what do you see for Meghan's future? Like, is she going to have her own show
Radio
on
like,
Fox or CNN or something?
Radio what Andy.
Was... Oh. Do you think she will?
I don't know, actually. Yeah, I truly don't know. She's not going to keep her mouth shut, nor should she. I mean, she has a following, and, you know, she's got that last name that will open up every door, whether she wants. Did you ever see that segment where they were talking about nepotism on The View?
Oh,
it was incredible. Please look it up. It was recent. And Joy is like, yeah, these people, they have famous parents, and they get these jobs, and they don't last. It's like cut to Meghan.
Did Meghan respond, or was she just...
Megan had already spoken, and then they went to Joy after. So she already there. They cut her mic, I guess. But I'm just kidding. But I don't really. She didn't say anything after that. And you just got the look in the bottom right corner, the bottom box. You know, I mean, she had a terrible attitude on that show. Very unprofessional in how she carried herself. And the messaging, you're right, was there, but the attitude is, you know, not
professional. Wouldn't you have a fucking attitude though if your job is to go in there and literally get shit on by all of your coworkers all episode, but the audience hates you because it's a very particular kind of audience? Like, I'm not surprised she got bitter, and I feel like she was the fucking star of that show. I don't like her. I don't like any of them. I hate them all. The last one I liked was the Jebediah Biller or whatever her name is. I didn't mind her.
Oh, that's going but, back. You really haven't found anything since anyone says to connect to.
Yeah. So, I recognize Megan as the star. She's the only one anyone ever fucking talks about. Like, if it's not involving Megan, nothing goes viral. Like, the only clips that go viral from The View is Meghan McCain. So
100%.
To know that you're low-key carrying that show and everyone hates you and treats you like shit, like, no wonder she got bitter eventually.
I think those four women are tight. And that girl, Alyssa, from the Trump era, from the Trump days, she probably is someone they should put on if they wanted to have, you know, a real drag out conversation that was trending. I mean, I hate to give certain people platforms. I don't know Alyssa, so I'm not going to say hate to see people like her get a platform because I really don't know her. But I think those four women, the current women in the cast, will just say no. I don't think they're going to want anyone directly from Trump on that show. I don't see them welcoming them. I think they're going to stonewall her.
Well, that's funny though, because it means called The View, but obviously that, yeah, there's The View because there's one view.
Yeah.
So, no other views allowed. Well, that Alyssa Farah, I was going to ask you, so have you seen her on The Hills Rising at all? Because you and I are big Crystal and Saga fans.
Yes.
We both bonded over our hatred of The View and then being Crystal and Saga fans over on Rising. That's The Hills YouTube channel. They have kind of a morning news show. It was really the best news show, Crystal and Saga's Rising. By far, and that actually did have two views. It had the populist right and then the populist left, and they'll come together and do stories, and then
they were young people, young voices, young educated voices, which you do not see in the media anymore. It's all boomers basically.
Yeah, well, the millennials, because they're both millennials. I think Crystal's sort of an older millennial, but she still makes the cut. And then Saga's definitely young. Saga's like 29 or something.
Yeah, he's younger than me.
Yeah, and that's a good sweet spot because it's kind of like, it's not too young where it's like, okay, like you're too young to know anything, but it's also like young enough to still like be with it, you know?
In this country, it's so important to have representation in news that have grew up with 9/11, grew up with the war in Iraq, grew up with all of these recessions, because they can really speak to what it is to live in these times. We're not talking about Reagan era stuff anymore. What has it been like in the last 30 years? That's it.
And they did such a great job. Then they went over to do their own show, Breaking Points. Now, have you caught up with Breaking Points since it launched at all? Because you and I were a bit skeptical about Breaking Points at first, but I think it's found its feet now.
I pick and choose what I watch from them these days, but I definitely want to get their take. I knew that when they talked about Afghanistan, that they would cover that better than cable news would, as far as what the real deal is, what ears to the ground.
I loved their Afghanistan coverage. I think they killed it.
I go to them for things where I'm like, okay, I don't need any spin. I don't need to hear from a specialist. I certainly don't need to hear from any military figures. Just what's happening with this? And I really respect them a lot. I've noticed that their numbers have climbed, which I'm glad so far. I mean, I know they came out the gate strong, but their daily view YouTube numbers, I do not listen to their podcast. I know it's like the 1 in 2 podcast in politics. Fantastic for them. Love to see it. I'm glad to see it that, you know, they're finding their audience. And I've noticed certain people, friends of mine, are following them now on Instagram. So the word is out.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. Yeah, I'm excited to hear that. I love it. I watch pretty much like get everything from them. Like I trust them on a lot of stuff. Like even with the vaccine stuff, I was definitely hesitant about the vaccine at first. And then when they vouch for the vaccine, that was definitely one of the factors that like led me to get, I've had my first jab, but they definitely influenced me on that because I'm like, I can trust them. Because if someone, the fucking View tells me to get the vaccine, bitch, I'm not getting the vaccine. If someone, if someone that I trust tells me to get it, then I'm like, okay, well, I know you're coming from like a good place, you know? Yeah. So,
you mean Whoopi's endorsement of the vaccine, did it move the needle for you?
Unfortunately, no. But they've definitely got the formula down. I know that when they first launched, you and I were like, oh, I don't know about this set, and it seems because they had some tech thing. And I was like, because the production on the Hills Rising is like top notch. It looks like a cable news show, but with actually like good news, not like trash like usual. They found that. Have you checked out the Rising at all, or did you just like jump ship when they left?
I watched in horror when they backfilled some people there and it was really bad. And then I was like, I caught myself watching a few and it just never really found its footing for me. But you did send me a clip that I looked at where they were discussing Joe Rogan and things like that. And, you know, I kind of am like with this all, just anyone that's talking about Joe Rogan at this point, like just, it's fine, but like, it's a lot. It's clickable. You know what I mean? It's like, why are we covering this man so closely? And it's not even about his politics. It's just like when he does or say, when he does and says stuff, it's news. It's kind of like,
well, they use it, for an agenda though. I mean, I talked about this at the top of the something about the top of the show, what they're doing with this show. So I won't like repeat myself, but basically that's the media are using quotes and they're saying that he took horse paste and horse dewormer. He actually didn't. That's a fake. That's a completely fake headline. There's two versions of ivermectin. There's a prescription human one that's been used for a long time and that people take, and that's like very effective and widely used. And then there's an animal version that's like a horse paste. Joe Rogan's not taking the horse paste. Joe Rogan is taking the prescription drugs for human beings. But the fake news media is writing Joe Rogan takes horse paste because it's a clickable headline. It's crazy. The stuff. But I was going to say with this new The Hills Rising, they really, like when Crystal and Saga left that show, like I unsubscribed. I was like, this is trash now. And they tried to fill those chairs with, and you couldn't replace them. They finally got the lineup right. So one of the girls is Alyssa Farah, who is obviously, she's going to try out for The View. She is younger. I think she was born in 89. She was a communications director in the Trump White House, like briefly, I think towards the end of his run. Then you've got Kim Iverson, who I'm a big fan of hers. She is a YouTuber, so I followed her for a while. She's independent. Like her views are like all over the place. Like she considers herself more on the left, but she'll have like very extreme left views. She'll be like, I'm for open borders, but then she's like all about the Second Amendment and guns and stuff. She's very interesting because you can't really pin her, like very independent minded, and she gets into conspiracy theories sometimes. But sometimes I'm a bit like but then other times I'm like, oh, you have a point there, Kim. But I mean, she kind of talks to like, it's a little Rogan-esque, like talks to the every person. And then you have Ryan Grimm on there as well, who he's from The Intercept. He is definitely more of a sort of Bernie left, but he's like a real straighty 180. So the lineup is really great because you kind of have this more sensible leftist. Then you have Kim Iverson, who is a little more like a populist for the people. She's a bit all over the place. Then you have a younger Trump female representing that demographic. And they're really like, the formula is amazing. Like it's better than anything I've seen on cable news. And I was reading some of the reviews on the Breaking Points podcast recently, and I still love, like, Breaking Points is my number one. Like, I agree with everything on Breaking Points, basically, because it reflects my politics, but there were a lot of conservative people leaving negative reviews because they were like, Breaking Points, like, because the original premise was that Saga is more right-wing and Crystal's more on the left. Saga's basically like progressive now, so they don't they don't really have a right-wing voice on there now. It sort of doesn't
His values are, but his like socially, like they're very aligned, I will say. And like I took pause with that as well. I was like, yeah, but these two, like, they always like, he's always saying that's right, that's great. You know what I mean? They used to have really great debates.
I think he's scared of Crystal because Crystal, I've noticed whenever Saga does speak up to Crystal, like Crystal kind of railroads him. Like she runs that, she runs the show.
I have her say like, well, I disagree with all of that, but you know, I mean, like.
Yeah,
so she's just kind of write him off.
Yeah, And
smart girl, though. I mean, smart woman, I should say.
I love her. And Breaking Point's for me, it does reflect kind of all of my politics. But then I feel like the people pointing out, why isn't there someone conservative voicing what I want? Because Crystal and Saga, they have been pro-vaccine. They've given Biden props recently for a few things, which people haven't liked. Because they're usually very anti-Biden, but they liked how he's done a few things. So,
which is fair. It's fair. Yeah. Come on, you can't hate on everything.
And, exactly. I mean, I felt the same with the Trump presidency. Like, because I wasn't in America, I didn't have Trump derangement syndrome. I would just look at something and be like, oh, I liked that. I didn't like that. You know, I was a bit. And that's what I'm trying to do with Biden, too. But the Hills Rising have kind of nailed it now to have all of those viewpoints reflected. So I'm going back and forth between the two now. I'm loving them. Okay. So, to wrap up, I wanted to get a Free Britney update off you. I'm a huge Britney fan, but I don't keep up with... It's like the Erica Jane thing. I just don't keep up with all the legal stuff. Like, I'll read, like, the one main big article that comes out. Like, I read the Ronan Farrow piece and everything, but then I don't keep up with the nitty-gritty of the legal shit day to day. What is going on with Britney? Like, where are we? Are we any closer to freeing her?
You know, you got this judge who's really in the way of this, and you just wonder what's happening. So... like, you know, it's really up to one person, I've said it so many times. She's a female judge. She should look at this as a woman who's really, in my point of view, you're not supposed to use the word abusers, but I think this woman is forced to be with abusers. And that's how I view it personally. That's what she said on the record. So I believe her. And people say, you know, and I don't know, this is a very unpopular opinion that people would have that are against Britney, but people who are against her say, like, she's still crazy and all that. If she lied about 90% of those things that she said, still, she shouldn't be in that conservatorship. So, like, it's not about, like, all the minutiae. It's about what these conservatorships are put in place to do. Here's the latest. So we all saw the headlines that Britney slapped the cell phone of a housekeeper's hand when she couldn't figure out where her pets were. We all saw this, right? And then they had like a battery charge and all this. Well, very quietly, of course, you don't see this on the top of TMZ garbage. You don't see this when they say, like, oh, yeah, that was all dismissed by the County of Ventura, and she's all set, and she's cleared. So it made for a great headline that Britney's charged with battery, but she really wasn't, and they did an investigation, and it was a she said situation. The cell phone screen protector cracked, so, I mean, give me a break. So she's cleared of that, so that's behind us, and now, this last week, at the time of recording this podcast, her now attorney, Michael Rosengart, made a second filing to remove Jamie and pointed. He was very shady in certain comments, but you got to be kind of direct at this point because the other side is playing nasty. And I predict more stuff leaking on the press that Britney's a bad dog owner and Britney's this and Britney's in, you know, with 5150 again and all this stuff. As far as what was in that filing, it was basically, we all agree, right, Judge, that a conservatorship is for the benefit of the person, and this person is pleading with pleading with you to remove her father. All these experts, including her personal conservator, the temporary conservator Judy Montgomery, have asked that he be removed. Why is this not happening? Let's expedite this. Of course, Jamie wants to be paid out and settle all this accounting. All that accounting can be settled with him being removed. He doesn't need to be sitting in the chair for that to be figured out. And they've dragged this on and on. This lawyer has inherited a mess, and I think this is going to go on for a long time because there's going to be forensic investigations into the financial side of things. So as far as freedom goes, September 29th is the next time that this will go before a judge, and the judge has been dragging this out. And here we go again with the second filing from Britney's team asking to remove this monster. And I just don't see why there's no urgency here. And that's what her legal team is playing up, the urgency. This has to happen immediately. And the fact that it hasn't, I mean, I think they should move this to maybe another court because this is just straight up abuse, in my opinion.
So it's like Britney's team are putting on this pressure of, like, get us out now. And then the other, Jamie's side is, like, just dragging it out. Like, do you think they'll probably, like, they might start? I mean, I don't know how all the legal stuff works, but I'm imagining, like, Jamie could, they could request, like, you know, financial things and stuff that are going to take, like, a long time to kind of just, like, prolong it and keep it going.
Well, that's the idea. That's why we all saw those headlines last month where Jamie's going to step down. All a media ploy. He said that he will step down when it is time, when he feels comfortable, when the or the 12th accounting, so I'm referring to with all these fees, media matters, money that went to different places, including allegedly a management company. Those that know who I'm talking about. And it's just like, yeah, he's willing to do it. That's like, you know, it's like, don't fire me. I quit, but I'm going to quit when I pay off my car, when I buy my Christmas gifts, and when I'm ready to relax. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. First of all, that guy needs to be investigated. So the fact that he's calling shots is ridiculous. I'm like, where is the judge? Let's move on this. The world is watching. What the hell is wrong? What is going on?
I think that what's going to be important with this is that the media and people keep this in the headlines and keep this going, and also keep it in the headlines with the right narrative, not the Jamie Spears narrative that's going to be like leaking out to TMZ and stuff to sway public opinion. So I think it really is like the Free Britney movement just need to keep the noise up and like keep it going so people like stay the fuck on, because it's only because of the media pressure and public pressure that this is even happening. Like without that, she would still be like where she was. So
it's getting a lot of clicks, which is good. It's still a very newsworthy topic. However, now you are seeing a lot of YouTubers really capitalizing on Britney, and you know, it's daily videos with shocking headlines that are really not, they're just, it's so sensationalized. And I hate to see that this has become marketing now.
Because I wanted to ask you, because I go on Twitter and I see like, I see all the Free Britney tweets, but it's like, wait, you know, like, I don't know what to believe. Like when you said about the Jamie thing, like I saw that when they're like, Jamie's stepping down. And I'm thinking, oh, Jamie steps down. Then you realize that he didn't. And it was just like a sensationalized tweet or a headline or something. So I wanted to get the real tea.
I wanted to be wrong about that. But I did extensive research, as much as I could, to figure out what was really happening with that. And yeah, I mean, it's all games. And it's just so disgusting. And I don't know how people don't see through it, but you do have people in the comments saying, see, I knew Britney was effed up. And so people are buying into these messages and these headlines. Wake up. I guess certain people will just never catch on, you know. Certain people will just read what is directly in front of them and not question anything. But you have to wonder what is at stake here and why these headlines are out there. Follow the money.
Well, look, that's a good note to end on, especially with all the shit we talked about today. Thanks so much for coming on. Tell everyone where they can get your podcast and find out what you're up to.
I hope this wasn't too negative.
I love it. This was good. We have to do this again.
I have to be so worried about that now. because I'm trying to like not live in that space. But I mean, I'm just telling you what I feel. But that and more on Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk podcast, okay? And if you want to follow me on Instagram, there's a lot of nonsense going on over there. I am at It's Grant's Rants, ITS Grant's Rants. Thanks so much for having me. This was great.
I know. We have to do this again.